Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul
Doctor threw me for a loop. I have my mouthful of Greek salad, and he changes the opening because, well, I was by myself. Doc, what are you doing?
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you for a loop.
At least tell me that it's a little shorter opening today. Anyway, all right. Welcome to PFW.
At least you turn your mic on.
My mic's on, isn't it?
That's what I just said.
All right. PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch is here. The gang is not. I'm joined by Brian Lowe, the B-Lowe. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Fred. That was a startling sequence right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you with the Greek salad, I thought, you know, I'm not here every day, so I, you know, I thought Jason screwed up. I mean, that's what you're going to think. I mean,
right.
Jason, you know, he's learning on the...
That's what they usually
it's
think.
Safe right. to assume
right.
that.
Right. Safe
right.
to assume
Very
that,
safe
yeah.
to assume
yeah.
that. Anyway, Paul is obviously rehabbing. You know, from his surgery. Eric's not here. Andy's not here because he had something he had to do today.
Oh, poorly.
So Brian Lowe was nice enough to fill in today.
You
so
pick the analogy, Fred, called in from the bullpen,
right.
called up from the practice squad. I think there's 10-day contracts in the NBA. You could say, I mean, listen, I'm here. You know, I've been warming up for the last few days. I'm not
ready
the greatest
to
guy.
He really
in the
world. Has. He's,
I only have 1 hour in me, Fred. Though you know, I'm
right.
I'm a relief pitcher. You can't count on me
right.
for like five innings. It's 2-3 tops.
Ryan will be here until one because you know I don't know what he's doing after that, but that's all he can do.
I got to finish my lunch.
And then Mike Reese will be calling in from the owners' meeting at around one, a little after 1 o'clock. So be good to talk with a good friend Mike Reese and see what's going on there. He had an exclusive sit down with Bill Belichick yesterday. So we can talk about that. He was also at the breakfast with Robert Kraft Monday morning and with the breakfast with Bill Belichick this morning. So he's been busy down there in Florida with the owners meeting, and we'll talk to him after the 1 o'clock hour. But right now it's Brian Lowe. And Brian, how you doing?
Doing great, Fred. You know, there's no shortage of stuff to talk about here with the Pats. I mean, talk about these owners, you know, what's going on in the owners' meetings and all that. And,
yeah,
all is good. All is good, Fred. It's good to be here with you.
You guys have been busy down there at Kraft Sports Productions.
Mm-hmm.
You changed up how Patriots Today looks
yeah.
a little bit. You know, Christina Acker is no longer mm-hmm. there, which, you know, big loss for all of
it
us.
It sure is. It sure is.
And are you in the process of finding a new host, or how's that going to
yeah,
work?
Yeah, there is a process of finding a new host. I'm not personally heavily involved, but the process has begun.
Thank God.
Looking for a new, yeah. What is that supposed to mean, Jason? Yes, the process is underway, and, you know, I don't know exactly where that stands right now, but, you know, they're big shoes to fill.
Why aren't you heavily involved?
Well, I do what
You're
I'm told.
You're on the show, right?
I am on the show. Here's the thing, Fred. I think once maybe candidates have been narrowed down and there's a quote-unquote audition process.
Well, they'll bring you in for the fun.
Sure,
yeah.
sure. Much like
Make
you
sure
called
you
me
tell
in.
Tell your friends.
Exactly, Jason. And, you know, I remember when Christina came in, we had a big day with an audition. You know, we had a chit-chat that I had. Andre Tippett came in to do a little, you know, talk back, and it went flawlessly. And, and Christina joined the show. And I'm sure we'll have the same process and as this you know as we move forward along in the spring and all that. So
now what are the requisites that you're looking for in a Patriots Today host?
We are looking for knowledge of the team.
Yeah.
Broadcast experience, though I don't think we're shooting for, you
Is
know
this in any particular order?
Not in any particular order. You know, you can't be any more good looking than me, but good looks.
Don't I have a nice rack?
Oh, jeez.
Right.
I'm only going to get myself into trouble, Fred, if I sit here and list the prerequisites. But the key component is an ability to convey the news to the fans in an informative, entertaining manner. That's the bottom line.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
First on the list, has to speak clearly and, like you said, deliver it well.
Correct.
Second are looks.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all you need.
End of story.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Forget about the knowledge of the Patriots and all that stuff.
Well, they employ me and employ Paul and Andy.
Learn.
Yeah.
You can't coach looks.
That's true.
Okay? And if you can't speak English, you know, I'm sorry.
Hey, Lisa.
But,
you look pretty hot
so
today.
That those are the only two things you need to be right. concerned about in picking a new host.
Right. And again, to make it clear, I'm not picking a new host. This is not me. I might be involved in the process. I might have some say, sure. But you know, we're gonna be looking for some, you know, camaraderie, chemistry, cohesion amongst the on-air personnel. So sure, I'll be in the mix there. But you know, your qualifications there are spot on. I think, like you said, you can't coach looks. You can't. It's like you know, they always say you can't coach speed.
Right.
You can't coach heart
right.
as well. So
heart.
It's kind of like the combine.
What the
blah, 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 blah.
Anyway. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We already have several emails in, and, of course, the phone lines are open right now. But, you know, a lot of issues going mm-hmm. on
yep.
that, you know, we should address right off the top. You know, and I don't want to get into draft. We'll get into draft later. I know that you're going to start with your draft show.
Correct, this
soon.
Week. Yep, we're going to have tomorrow, actually, on Wednesday, we'll have a running back. We'll be starting with running backs.
Okay.
And I think I'm also going to be helping out some of the podcasts, the draft
okay.
preview podcasts. Again, call
so you're going to be heavily into draft.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
There'll be plenty of time for that. But with these owners' meetings, mm-hmm. You know, as we said before, Robert Kraft has spoken to several members of the media down there. Bill Belichick had his breakfast today. So let's start right off the bat with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kraft mentioned he was asked about his contract. He mentioned that Brady is going to be here, you know, for mm-hmm. a while. He's part of this franchise, and we'll get his contract done at the appropriate time. He said that to NFL Network this morning, and, in fact, you can see that on Patriots.com yep. right now. He also was asked about Brady's presence at the off-season workouts, and he said, yeah, of course I'd rather have him here, but I'm sure that, you know, he's staying in shape, and, you know, he'll be back. You know, a lot was made of those two
yeah.
subjects having to do with Brady, his contract and his presence at the off-season workouts. On this show, we've had a lot of debate about, you know, how Tom Brady has changed. And like Andy Hart, for example, thinks it's for the worse as in terms of his involvement. You know, they no longer can hold up Tom Brady as the guy that gets the parking spot and the role model to the younger guys, the guy that's always here more than everyone.
This is what you guys always
do.
You change my argument and put words in
my mouth. That's a negative. What do you think about all that?
Well, I think I have no worries or concerns about Tom Brady's commitment to football, commitment to the team. But I think that there's no question he has changed. And I think whereas the first 6 years of his career, it was football, A1, and then everything else. And now football is right up there, but I think there's a lot of the other things that are in his life that take up the time. Now, I'm of the opinion that if the team and the fans and the media have always made a big deal about how good it is that he's one of the players who's here all the time during the offseason, wins the parking spot, then I think fair is fair. It should be considered maybe not a huge deal, but it should be a factor that he's not here. If it was such a big deal that he was here, I think you've got to look at it as it's not ideal that he isn't here. But that being said, I look at Tom Brady now. You know, he's married to a supermodel. The spotlight's on him 365 days a year. TMZ, it's not just football media, but TMZ. And just because he is scrutinized and nitpicked everything that he does, who's to say that other players on the Patriots who aren't here, who's to say that they're not focused on their, you know, working out and football preparation, you know, 9 hours a day? It's just that we don't see that. But when we do see one piece of footage of him in Brazil, it's up. He's not focused on football. That bothers me. Just because he is in the spotlight, married to a supermodel, and he's scrutinized everything he does, I don't think that means that he's not focused on his football. As Robert Kraft said, the ideal is that he's here every day. That would be the best. The fact that he's not here, I don't think that means that he's not committed. I'm not worried about him having commitment during the 2010 season. I just think his priorities have changed over the years.
No, I agree. I mean, if there's one guy that you don't have to worry about having a level head and knowing what he's doing and know what's best for him in order to keep focused, it's Tom Brady.
And until there is on-field, in-season proof that his off-season is affecting what he does in-season, which, in my opinion, we haven't seen yet, then let me know. Because the first year that it was such a big deal that he wasn't around was before the 2008 season, and he got hurt in week one. So you've got to put that aside. Last year, he's coming back from the injury. He had a good, not great year, but I don't think him not having a great year had anything to do with any sort of lack of commitment. No. If he has a rough year this year, then we can talk.
No, and as a matter of fact, Brian, this just in, this is from the Nesson.com website, but they're quoting a source. Quarterback Tom Brady has reported to Gillette Stadium for the Patriots' voluntary workouts, according to a source. The workouts began last Monday, blah, blah, blah. So that's it.
Well, and as Robert said, he expects that by the time, what did he say, by the time the owners meet,
nice
shot. Wouldn't be surprised. Now,
you wanted to see that?
No, I didn't want to see it. I was just saying, nice shot. Toss it into the trash. Now, I will say this. On Thursday, we're expected to be talking to Dan Copen. And if there's anyone on the team who is, he might be the closest player to Brady as far as football goes. I don't know about, off the field. In more ways than one, Dan Copen's pretty close to Tom Brady. I can assure you that on Thursday morning when we talk to Dan Copen, that will be topic 1A. Is Tom Brady here? Now, he can lie. He can, beat around the bush. But we might get a sense from Dan Copen whether or not Tom Brady is around. I'm sure he is. And I have no doubts that, he might not be here 100% of the time, but I'm sure he's going to be around. I think Tom Brady is fully committed to what this team needs to do.
You know, these guys aren't robots. They're human beings. And, mm-hmm. Your lives change.
Yeah.
And the important thing is that each player understands themselves and understands what's best for them and to do what's best for them so that when they are here, they are 100% focused.
Yep.
I would rather have Brady here a month less than he's usually here. But when he's here 100% focused, then having here all the time and always – thinking about something else, worrying about something else, off-field crap and drunk. I'd rather have a guy here a little bit less and 100% focused than someone that's here all the time and has his head elsewhere. And that could be the case if you don't take care of the other things that are important to you in your life.
Right, and I think that's exactly it. I think that if you look at a lot of other players who aren't as high-profile as the starting quarterback, Super Bowl MVP, future Hall of Famer in Tom Brady. If you look at other guys, and I guess Dan Copen, I would say, is an example. I have no idea if he's here every day, what his off-season workout regimen is and all that. But Dan Copen, I know, is a player who, when he was drafted, he was a single guy. He's now married with a kid. Well, just because he's not married to a supermodel and doesn't go to Brazil and go to fashion shoots, maybe if he were scrutinized, maybe we'd see, I'm just using him as an example, maybe we'd see that Dan Copen does more non-football stuff in the offseason than Tom Brady. Who knows? It's just that we don't have the TMZs and the non-football media, People Magazine, following Dan Copen's every move. I'm just saying that just because Brady is the guy in the spotlight doesn't mean there aren't other players who have other offseason commitments and other offseason priorities. And I think we'd have to wait until a season goes by where Tom Brady is screwing up and it's clear that his offseason commitments, off-the-field commitments, have hindered his actual production on the field before we can really make judgments
like
that. So
there's a source that says he's here, but regardless of that, someone close to him, we probably know who, fed the media a little bit of inside info about what his routine was while he was in California. It was pretty strenuous. I mean, I think it was 3 hours in the gym, and then he boxed later on. All told, he was spending 6 to 8 hours a day in some form of training. It wasn't football training, but no one's doing that at this point.
But staying in shape is a big priority in March.
A little curious, though, about the boxing. Why do you think he took up that as one of his routines?
I have no idea. I do know that you see players every now and then, whether it's, MMA training or boxing training. I'm sure it's just there must be certain boxing regimens and training that relate to football. I cannot imagine he's doing it, A, as a hobby, or B, anything that would hit, would affect negatively his football preparation.
I could see, you know, moving in the pocket maybe, you know, when, you know, when you're dodging punches, I guess, that kind of movement might work out. But as far as throwing punches, I don't see that. But the cardio, trying to do just 3 minutes, you know, one round of boxing, it's unbelievably strenuous. So maybe it's just a cardio thing.
It could be, Here's the thing. If Tom Brady is doing 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever, he should be. I mean, this is – I know we're not in season, but, you know, staying in shape in one way or another should be the full-time, year-round job of these athletes. And I'm not saying it's got to be 12 to 14 hours a day, but this is his job. It's we're not in season. This is his job, and it's a job that he's well compensated for, playing football. And – you know, working out 6 hours a day or doing something football-related, getting ready, even if it's on his own, I think that is part of the requirements, in my opinion.
I'm getting my ass another funnel cake.
So, I don't know. Jason, maybe you can call up to media relations, just see if you can confirm the rumor that's on Nesson.com that Brady is here. Maybe we can get an actual confirmation on that.
Could be. Could be. Yeah, I don't know how they operate as far as, you know, those kinds of
confirmations.
If he's here, he's here. Right. If he's here, he's here. I think that would be.
Guys available.
Yes. Yeah. We'll see if Tom Brady is made available. I don't know about that. But,
all right. What do you think about the contract? Now, I was thinking, you know, one of the things that Robert Kraft said, and he was very careful in the words that he selected and every time he spoke to the media about this, never wanting to pin himself into a corner. But one of the things he said is, you know, we'll take care of that when at the appropriate time. I don't know if I'm exactly quoting him, but I'm paraphrasing him. So appropriate time. Now, could he be referring to we're going to wait to see what Manning does and see where that bar is to know what we have to deal with? Or is there a strategy, let's get it done before Manning so that if Irsay decides to just go hog wild, we don't have that to contend with?
I would think it's the latter. I would think that it would be in the Patriots' best interest to do it before Manning. Manning is going to get an astronomical figure. If that happens first, then the question the Patriots have to contend with, and that Brady's agent and Brady's side will certainly bring up, is, listen, I should be highly compensated than Manning, or at least right there. I don't know if the Patriots want to do that. I don't know. And now, here's the thing. To me, there are two possible outcomes when it comes to Tom Brady's contract. They re-sign him to a long-term extension. He's a Patriot for life, and I think there's a 99.9% chance that happens, or they trade him this offseason. Tom Brady, I do not think, is going into the last year of his contract, and there is absolutely no way, if he does go into the last year of his contract, there's no way he goes onto the free agent market or there's any kind of franchise tag problems. I think they either re-sign him this offseason or they trade him. I don't think they're going to trade him. I think there's a virtually 100% chance something gets done before the season. I think that is a chance to get ugly if it isn't.
Well, if you're Brady's agent, Donald Yee, and I think he might have another one, but if you're his agent, are you doing the opposite tact? Are you saying, you know what, we're going to wait until Manning signs his deal, and then we'll talk
to you? You might. But I think Tom Brady has been, I think he's definitely, in his previous contract extensions, he's had a fair contract, one that's fair to him, fair to the team, allows the team to do other things. You've got the whole CBA complication right now where, you know, I don't know, I can't talk intelligently enough about exactly, specifically, where those complications are, but you hear teams saying, a lot of teams saying, we don't know how much we can go into these long-term contracts because they don't know if there's going to be salary cap ramifications in 2011, 2012, when there's a possibility that there will be a salary cap. I'm sure there are complications there, but I think something like a Tom Brady contract and also a Vince Wilfork contract, these are high-end stuff that I don't think they're going to be using the CBA.
Yeah, I mean
these supersede CBA problems.
See, this is where, you know, I argue with Paul a lot. Paul,
you guys argue on the show
a little bit. Paul thinks there's no way in hell that the cap will ever be less than what it is, and what it is now really hasn't stopped teams from doing really anything they want to do. There's a way to do anything.
You don't even believe your
own
crap now.
I'm here to say that there is a chance that the cap could go down. Now, would players make it up in other ways, you know, other concessions? Yeah. But the main argument of the owners is that the cap is too high right now, that the cap is formulated based on these certain revenues, and that it's too high right now. Right. And those revenues are put out of skew by the high revenue teams. Mm-hmm. So the low revenue teams can't really afford to spend to that cap. They can't. That's one of the big things. That's why the players' union says to the owners, well, get your revenue sharing in order.
Right.
You know, get that in order, and then you'll be able to do what you have to do with the cap. You know, so that's some of the crux of the argument there. But if the owners get their way, the cap will come down a little bit.
Well, and are we saying, you know, 100% that there will be a cap? I mean, isn't there a chance that there isn't even going to be a cap?
I just can't see that.
I don't
happening.
Either. I don't either.
See that happening.
But I think you're right. I think that you know, the owners are the ones that have opted out of the CBA.
That's true.
You know, so they're the ones that that aren't happy with this. They're not going to want it to go up. They're not going to want the percentage of gross revenues dedicated to the players to go up. So I agree with you there. But as far as Brady's concerned, I think with a cap, without a cap, higher cap, lower cap, I think Brady's contract supersedes whatever the outcome of the CBA negotiations are going to be.
And you're probably right there. I mean, you know,
not everybody. I do understand that teams take the tactic of, well, we can't lock ourselves into too many long-term contracts because of the ambiguity of the CBA. I understand that, but I think there's guys like Brady and I guess Wilfork. I mean, they're probably the only two on this team that long-term big money contracts come far ahead of whatever the CBA is going to be.
Well, every team's got their
every team's got a few.
For
the Patriots, it's those two.
Right.
I mean, something like Lee Bodden, I mean, that wasn't a huge money contract. That's 4 years, $20 million. Tully Bant, those aren't the astronomical figures. You're going to have to sign some guys to long-term deals that are in that middle tier. But I think Brady, I mean, something I cannot imagine. Can you imagine the circus if training camp, day one of training camp comes up? We know in the past you've had Richard Seymour, Asante Samuel, Vince Wilfork, where you've gone into training camp, guys are going to the last year of their contract, maybe there's franchise tag problems and all that, and whether the player appears or holds out or sits out or whatever, that is the topic 1A at the start.
The only thing about that, though, is I'm not as concerned about that being a topic with Tom Brady because, A, Brady has limited access. It's once a week or
whatever.
It
doesn't matter about the
Belichick knows how to deflect that like nobody's business. And those are the only two people that you're going to ask about that question to.
You're going to ask every other player,
yeah,
Fred.
Yeah, but
every other
all
player.
The players have to say is, hey, I'm just worried about my job. And
I know that they're not going to say anything inflammatory.
Yeah, I just think that I'm not worried about that. And what I am worried about is just getting a deal done.
I guess I'm not worried about how it would ultimately affect them on the field, but I just think that there's a chance it would get, if training camp comes up, day one of training camp, July 31st, whatever, and Tom Brady's going to the last year of his contract, I think there's a better chance of it getting ugly than it getting settled quickly. I don't know.
I disagree because one of the reasons why he could be going into his last year without a deal is because that's the way he wants it. Like I said, they might be saying, you know, we're going
to
wait.
But does he want it because he wants a chance at free agency?
He wants to see what Manning's going to sign for.
Manning, do you think Manning doesn't get done before? I think Manning gets done before.
You know, Ursay, you know, his first comment was, you know, he's going to be the highest paid player ever.
Which he never should have said. That was like during Super Bowl week.
It's not that he's stepped back from that, but he's kind of softened what he said since then. He recently said just yesterday at the owners' meeting that, you know, those negotiations are around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Negotiations, okay?
Which take a while.
They're going to take a while. It's not going to be as easy as here's a blank check, Peyton, fill it in. There is going to be negotiations, and it's not going to be as easy as Ursay first made it sound.
Agreed.
So that's going to take time.
Sure. Both of these are going to be complicated, Manning and Brady. And I'm sure there's going to be some of that back and forth, chicken and egg, you know, who goes first, who goes second. I mean, these are the two premier quarterbacks in the game, the two faces of their franchises and faces of the league, and they're getting into that period right here where they're worth the money, they deserve those contracts, and they'll probably get them, but this is, you know, they're now at the 32, 33-year-old range, and there's that wonder and that worry about, okay, if we give this guy a 6 or 7 year contract, you know, what's it going to be like in that fifth, sixth, seventh year?
The last time that Manning signed a contract, it was much tougher for the Colts than the one Brady. That came down to the last, you know, the 11th hour, if you will, with Manning and the Colts. So he made it tough on them. I have a feeling this time around he's not going to make it as tough on them.
That could be.
Coming off throwing an interception in a Super Bowl. You know, and those things, you know,
should be a factor.
Not that the Colts will bring it up, but hey, you know, it happened.
Right. He, you know, his big game appearance. I mean, he's got the one Super Bowl, and you can't take that away from him.
Right.
But he's had more big game problems than successes or big game failures. So that should be a factor. But you know, I just think both of these are going to get done. There'll be 1-1A in some order, 1-2 in some order, and I don't think there's any other possible outcome for both of these franchises than getting a deal done, and I think getting a deal done before August 1st.
All right, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now, Kevin from Reading. Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Say hello to Brian Lowe.
How's it going,
Brian,
Kevin?
How's it going?
Doing great.
It seems to me like I think the Giants really actually screwed up when they gave Van Manning that $100 million contract, and then San Diego gave out, I think, Rivers close to the same amount or just basically the same contract. And not that the, you know, well, I think Rivers, you certainly can make the case that he's probably one of the top four quarterbacks in the league, maybe, you know, top five, even though I don't like the guy. But Manning in New York, you know, he had that great run, and then he had some sparks. But is he a guy that you really trust to I don't know. I just don't see it. I think he's a medium, maybe 10, 12, 13-rated quarterback in the league. And when you give somebody like that a contract that's so, I think, outstripped everything else that had come before it, plus the fact, so not only are you giving a guy that doesn't deserve the contract the big payday, but you're also moving the bar up so much.
Yeah.
I don't think it helped anybody.
Kevin, I just want to break in here. Real Patriots is tweeting, so that's the official tweet of the Patriots, that Brady is in Foxborough.
Okay.
So he is here working.
Well, is
out.
He in? You know, is he getting lunch?
Right.
Where
no,
is he in? Is he
in
the building?
Foxborough, and he's with his teammates.
Great.
With Randy Moss, who by the way is also here. So there you go.
No, that's
Tom
good.
Brady's
yeah,
here.
No.
All right.
Tom Brady's here. He's not in L.A.
Is good now.
He's not in Brazil.
All right.
I'm
okay.
Sure there's
well,
some.
Here's the next thing, though. I was reading the fact that Giselle's sister is getting her twin sister's getting married. I think sometime next couple of weeks down in Brazil. So I'm sure he'll go down there with his wife and with their son.
Right.
And well, you don't go to Brazil for the week, you know, for the weekend, rather.
You do when you have your own jet.
Yeah, I think you can.
Well, but do you really think he's going to, you know, you really think they're going down there for 3 days and coming back?
He might. You know what?
Who cares?
What if he doesn't? So
yeah,
if he spends a week. Guys are in and out. People think that, guys that report on day one for the voluntary workouts are here until next February. They're in and out. Guys take a week off. They come back. They have a certain amount of things that they need to check off. And if they check them all off within a certain time period, they get the credit for the bonus or whatever's in their contract. But they make their own schedule. They're in and out. And guys are doing different things when
they're
here.
Please don't read all that much into something like Tom Brady going to Brazil for the sister's wedding. If I was a football player and my sister was getting married wherever it is in the world, I'd be there and I'd make the decision. Am I there for a day, 2 days, 3 days? I'd work out in the mornings. I'd do whatever it takes. You know, better than his sister-in-law is getting married in March than October, and we'd be dealing with, Tom Brady is leaving the facility on Friday, going down to Brazil for a Saturday morning wedding and then meeting the team. You know, let's just – I think we read a little too much into Brady. For all we know, there are 50 other players on the team who have relatives getting married this week and are taking far more time off than Tom Brady. So I just think it's dangerous to look into how much time he's spending at his sister-in-law's wedding versus in Foxborough. I'm not saying I know how much time he spent. I just think – we don't need to be reading into it too much. I think it's great that he's here right now. It sounds like, you know, maybe he's here for this week. Maybe he won't be around the following week. Maybe he will be around the week after that. I don't know. I think it's a great news item that he's here this week. I think it's good. You know, David Patton was talking last week about, you know, he's really looking forward to the first time that he will have a chance to throw to Brady this offseason. They're probably getting that opportunity now. I think that'll be big.
The same people who are questioning Brady's commitment to football are the same people who are saying, well, because the Patriots haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004, the whole system's terrible.
Right.
That it's just nonsense.
I don't care. I don't care if he's here. To me, these off-season workouts, this is another thing that people that, you know, the public and some of the football writers push to try to make football more complicated than it is. Mm-hmm. These guys, what, they come in the morning, right? They probably do about an hour and a half in the gym. Maybe they watch some film. They're probably out the door by 3 hours. It's not like these guys are hanging around in the locker room for 8 hours a day.
That's right.
You know,
I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it.
Talking to each other, you know, playing cards. You know, they're in and they're out.
And here's the other thing, too. A lot of the younger guys on the team or guys that are veterans but are new to the team and all that, I think some of these guys, they probably hang out anyways off the field just because – they're new to the city. They might even be roommates and all that. So they're here for a couple hours. I feel like there might be some of that team building, those team building elements off the field and away from the facility anyways.
As a matter of fact, during this time, a lot of them barely even see Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's not around.
He's working with personnel or he's not here. He's doing his stuff. You know, he's not even here today.
Right.
But even, you know, next week he's going to be, you know, fully immersed in the draft and all that stuff. They'll see their position coaches, mm-hmm. but mostly
strength
they're seeing Mike Wojcik and his strength and conditioning. And each guy has their own regiment. You know, it's their own chart that they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, Kevin, it's like going to the gym.
And when players leave in the offseason to leave when the season ends, I think they're given, you know, a listing or a sheet or a regimen from the strength and conditioning coaches on what they can do off the field. It's not like they're haphazardly, you know, working out without any supervision. So, you know, I think it's great. Every player who's here, I think it's worthwhile. I think it's good. I just don't think it's the end of the world if any of them aren't here or are only here for part of the offseason. I think what's much more important is when it comes time to those mandatory OTAs, the mandatory minicamps. If anyone's not here for that, then a flag is raised, whether it's a contract reason or anything like that. For right now, I think you've got to give these guys the benefit of the doubt that unless we see evidence to the contrary, that they are doing what they can do and what they should be doing individually to get ready for those team elements.
The fact that Randy Moss and Tom Brady are here mm-hmm. throwing the ball around in March, mm-hmm. hey, I love that. That's all I can ask for.
And that's something that last year, because of Tom Brady's injury, Brady and the receivers probably weren't really able to do until more like, you know, May, April or May. So I think that's a positive, and it's good to see.
The fact of the matter is, it's more important for the young guys to be there, like you said. The young guys being there working out. Maybe they're doing film study, right? You know, because when you look at the team in 2000 and you look at the number of young guys or new guys that were signed as free agents, right? And then now you look at now and you look at the number of quote-unquote Super Bowl winners on the team, guys that actually have a ring, right? Whether this team can rise to a championship level will not be on the backs of the guys that have won rings. It's going to be on the backs of the guys that haven't won rings. So if those guys don't step up, then it doesn't matter. You know, in my opinion, it almost doesn't matter what the guys that have the rings do, because this is basically a whole new team. You know, you have the veteran influence of guys that have been champions. But like I said, it's going to be the any new Super Bowls is going to be on the backs of guys that haven't won.
All right, Kevin. That's Kevin from Reading. Thanks for the call. Right now we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Jackpot.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America N.A., member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Now's your chance. Hit up the PFW guys at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
All right, back here at PFW in progress, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Preston from Brockton says, I think Brady is mentally on another planet. That being said, I think they should start looking for a new QB. He has accomplished everything possible. What else should he want? I really think his best years are behind him. Look at Manning and Brady. Manning was one-on-one with his new receivers in the offseason, and Brady takes trips to Brazil and Cali. He doesn't even compete for parking spots. We know he isn't working out because he's too busy following his wife's coattails.
Oh.
Wow.
I just
so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and I think Preston is just trying to cause some trouble here. If he believes that, well, Preston, you're not that smart. I'm sorry.
I want Preston, and I respect your opinion, but please,
I don't.
please find out for me, Preston. I want you to find me confirmation that Peyton Manning did not take a single vacation
right.
since the Super Bowl. I want you to get me proof that from the day of the Super Bowl, which was like February 7th, to the first day of Colts training camp, find me proof that Peyton Manning did not go on a vacation.
Just find me proof that he's there every day for
off-season
training.
And here, my point is,
when is he filming those commercials?
My point is, I'm not saying that Peyton Manning is the workout warrior and wins the Colts equivalent of the parking space. I'm just saying that until we know that Tom Brady is completely putting football aside every offseason and all the other 31 starting quarterbacks aren't, until we know that, we cannot just jump to conclusions that Tom Brady is not committed to football.
Yeah, I think Preston was smoking the wacky weed this morning.
It's
supposed to make you friendlier, though.
It seems like Tom Brady.
You would smoke it.
I get the sense that Tom Brady was a legendary workout guy from 2000 to like 2004. That he was just football was so far ahead of everything else in his life, and he was here every day and lived here year round. I have a feeling that that was the case. Just because that was the case in that first phase of his career doesn't mean that he's not committed this
like
time,
I said,
this point.
I want a guy when he's here to be balanced and focused 100%. And, you know, I think I trust Brady to know what he needs to do in order to do that. John writes, since signing Brady is a must, he is the franchise until we have a number two or someone we believe can take his place. I don't see that on the roster today, nor in free agency, nor in the draft. I think Brady understands the market for his services, so although he will probably stay, he wants to get comped fairly. Is this Peyton Manning money? It should be. I pray to God Belichick is not thinking Tebow is the guy to replace Brady.
if Tim Tebow is drafted by the Patriots, it is not to replace Brady. It is because he is a, quote, football player that Bill Belichick wants to work with, and either bring him in and figure it out, bring him in and figure out how he can help the team, or bring him in, develop him as a backup quarterback, and maybe you get something for him in a couple years.
Where draft Tebow as a Patriot? What round would you take Tebow?
Ideally, third.
They don't have a third round pick.
So if, and I'm not advocating, I have as many questions as everyone else, and I don't think I would use a second round pick on Tim Tebow this year where the Patriots have so many needs and it's such a deep draft. However, I think that if the Patriots are able to, I wouldn't take, if I'm the Patriots, I'm looking to take him, I wouldn't take him before that last second round pick, or I'd try to find a way to get a third round pick and get him if they feel like he's a guy they want to get in the system. I just think they have too many needs to use one of those
Belichick
first couple
picks.
Did
have some nice things to say about him, you know, basically talking about his work ethic and his love of football. You know, says you could probably play nose tackle if you asked him to do that.
Right.
So there's obviously a respect there for Tom Tebow, the football player.
You're mixing your Tom Brady's and Tim Tebow's.
Oh, what did I say?
Tom Tebow.
Tim Tebow. I do that a lot.
Yeah, well,
I'm not
you know.
Good with names.
It's okay. You're doing well.
Anyway, Tebow, there's a respect there from Belichick, and, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and I truly do get the sense that Tim Tebow is a player that Belichick
would take him with the last pick in the second round that they have.
I mean, that would be the earliest that I'd think about it. But I just think that not that Tim Tebow would be a waste of a pick, but I think that if you get If you get Tim Tebow, your goal and your plan is one of two things: develop him as a quarterback or figure out that role. I just think that late second round is too early for the New England Patriots, where they are right now, to do that. I think they have too many needs. But if Bill Belichick feels strongly that this is a guy, if they get their hands on him, they have a plan. You know, it might take a while to see what that plan is, but I might trust them in this particular case with Tim Tebow. I'm intrigued by him. I'm not wild about him and wild about his pro prospects. I just think third round would be the earliest I'd really feel comfortable taking a project like that. There's too many other needs, and it's a deep draft.
Mike, from formerly from Long Island, now in Virginia Beach, says, it's been a while since I was back in college in 01, to be exact. You may remember our Falk and McGinnis debates, which I won, by the way. I lost the Brady Bledsoe one, though, because of obvious reasons.
What's the Falk and McGinnis debate?
Wow, 2001, Mike. I still listen. I just usually listen after work and haven't emailed. I'm so sick of people putting Rivers on the elite quarterback list and Eli on the blank list, like the last caller's comments.
Good, Fred.
Sometimes I read what they write.
I've heard those.
Eli lost his top receiver, and that receiver has not been replaced. Then he lost the top tight end. Granted, he was a head case. What has Rivers done with arguably a better all-around team in a much weaker division? So,
well, I think that figuring out and debating those. I think you got Manning, Brady, Breeze, and then you've got that next tier. And I think like a guy like Rivers has a lot to prove in terms of big games. But I think he's still only in his third full year as a pro, and he's led teams to the playoffs, and he's won playoff games. He's got a lot to prove. Whereas Manning, I think he won the big game that one time.
Yeah, but you know what? But if he hadn't won that game, they were talking about dumping his.
Yeah, well, they backed into the. I shouldn't say they backed into the playoffs. They did not have a good year that year.
I mean, Coughlin were on the hot seats,
right,
in New York.
They needed to win a few games at the end of the year and then have a legendary playoff run for him to. You're right. Maybe even save his job.
Yeah, I don't think Eli is anywhere close to his brother.
No, I think he's. Maybe in the back end of the top 10 in the NFL. So those contracts. Going back to an earlier emailer, those contracts very well could complicate what happens with Brady and Manning.
508-543-7482 on the phone right now is Tyrone from Delaware. Tyrone, what's up?
Hey man, what's going on, man?
What's up, Tyrone?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. That's my man, the guy that goes Patriots Today.
You
That's
betcha.
Right, Ryan Lowe. Tell him, friends, you heard it on Patriots Today.
Yeah, tell him he does a good job, and I like to see him, especially that.
You tell him.
You just,
honey, I'm flying Honey Christina Aguilera. Where's she at? Where's she been? She's off of work now.
Well, first of all, you just told me yourself that you you enjoy, and I appreciate that. And Christina unfortunately left us about 6 weeks ago to pursue some other interests. So we're looking for that next replacement. And Tyrone, we hope that you feel the
now,
same way about her.
Drive her out. Right? There's no truth to that, Brian, that you drove her out of this job?
Literally, I gave her a ride to... Oh. No. Listen, if you... you'd have to ask her, but no, I don't think so.
Well,
you're spoken for
these days, right?
I am spoken
Any
for,
Any movement
yes.
there? Ring? Any ring?
No ring, but, you know, I am spoken for. Sorry, okay. You know, I'm spoken for.
Well, anyway, you guys do a good job. Anyway, man, I called in a while, you know, and the last time I called, it was right after that Ravens loss. And, you know, I was speaking to, I got family up in New England. I was speaking to them, and, you know, most of them are pretty mad that we ain't got Julius Peppers. And, you know, we ain't trying to get what's that kid, Bolden.
Anquan
but,
Bolden.
You know, like I said, you know, I want to ask you guys a question about this. I'm not really upset about trying to get a wide receiver. That's not my. I think we got enough there, you know. Because remember, we won Super Bowls without big name wide receivers. I mean, what I'm concerned about, what we're gonna do on our offensive line. That's my main concern. Because
where, Tyrone,
that Super Bowl, Brady didn't get touched. I mean, not Brady. Manning didn't get touched, even though they lost. And Breeze, I mean, if Brady get them that same protection, but remember when we played the Saints, they was all over Brady.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we need to upgrade our offensive line. That's my main concern.
Where in particular on the offensive line do you have a problem? Is there a particular side or person on the line that you're not happy with, or is it just the whole line?
To tell you the truth, I'm kind of not happy with Light. I think Wallerman going to do a good job in his position. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, the first play, that playoff game, Suggs came off the edge. And I said to myself before that happened, I hope Light, so said, so done. I think Light, I think he got to go on that left side. I think you put Wallerman there, he's proven, you know. I like the way he did with Dwight Freeney. I think we need Mankins, you know, he stays. But I think we need some younger studs up in the middle, especially because people been getting in Brady's face, especially up in the middle. So, you know, like I said, my main concern is the offensive line. And another thing, why did we get rid of Chris Baker?
Well, you could ask the question, why didn't they use him more during the season either? I mean, that is kind of curious, you know, especially what's going on at tight end overall. Why they got rid of him so early. I don't know if he was owed a certain roster bonus that they didn't want to pay or something like that, but it does seem curious with the lack of tight ends that they have that they got rid of him.
Yeah, that one surprised me for the reasons you said, and I have to think that there was something, some sort of a roster bonus that was due, because why not, especially with the lack of depth they had, and they probably knew at the time that Watson was probably going to move on, why don't you keep him around?
Just keep him around.
Through training right, camp and then right. make a decision. So that one was curious to me. When Chris Baker was cut, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Kyle Brady a couple years ago, where I thought, and I think a lot of people thought, Kyle Brady was a decent fit. He wasn't brought in to be a pass catcher.
He was
good. And when he got cut, I think I remember hearing, like, well, it turned out he wasn't a great fit. And I think sometimes as fans, like, you know, it's hard for me and for a lot of people to sit there and really know the technique of a blocking tight end. Well, maybe it just turned out that he was on the team last year. He was okay, but he wasn't truly a good fit, and they've decided to move on. I don't know the specifics, but yeah. Back to your offensive line point.
Yeah.
I think that there are some. I have a sense that there's going to be a lot of movement in the next, maybe not this offseason, but in the next 18 months on the offensive line, because I truly don't think that Matt Light, Dan Copen, and Stephen Neal are three guys that are going to really be here long term. And I think the Patriots in this year's draft are going to be looking kind of like what they did last year with Sebastian Vollmer, and then if you remember Rich Ornberger, who they took in the fourth round, that I've got to figure they have high hopes for to maybe slide into that Stephen Neal role eventually. I think they're still looking for some good young offensive linemen to pair up with Sebastian Vollmer, and certainly you hope Logan Mankins. I don't think Matt Light's going to be here forever. And I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be surprised if he's, you know, if they get rid of him before this upcoming year. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's not around, you know, in 2011 and beyond. And maybe the same thing with Dan Copen. And I think there are. I wouldn't be surprised if they take an offensive lineman in the first round, just because there might be that value there.
Ryan,
so
would not be surprised.
I would not be surprised.
Before I go, you know, Belichick always trade. He never take a high pick on an offensive lineman. So you think this year he might do that?
Well, Logan Mankins was the first round. I mean, it was the last pick of the first round. Here's what I think. I think the Patriots like to look in the trenches in the draft. You remember 2001, 2003, 2004, they took a defensive lineman in the first round. 2005, they took an offensive lineman. What happened between 2001 and 2005? That was the heyday. I really think the Patriots are going to take an offensive or defensive lineman with their first pick in this year's draft. And I don't think when they take one of those players that they're looking for that player to be the savior in 2010. But I truly think that they find the best value in the draft, the players who are most pro-ready to be those stud interior on-the-line players.
And, you know, it's interesting because we all like Dan Copen. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's been a great Patriot.
No,
but he is undersized. And, Belichick even mentioned couple, you know, I think it was today that, you know, there's like 13, 14 teams now that use 3-4s,
mm-hmm.
meaning
yes.
that they have a pretty big guy mm-hmm. at nose tackle. And it might be getting to the point now where Copen is just getting moved around a lot and there's just nowhere to run, you know, for the Patriots up the middle. So maybe they need to get a little bigger at center.
Well,
I don't know.
And there's certainly. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Well, thanks for answering my questions there.
Sure, they're good questions.
One other question, what you think about the Jets, where they transitioned? And my personal opinion is, with that move with Cromartie, I think they're the favorite of the East because, you know, how they had the playoff run. But, you know, like I said, we're going to have a good offensive line to be, especially with that big boy coming back. I think the nose tackle, he has
Chris
got
Jenkins.
Injured for the rest of the season.
Right.
If he comes back with that front, man, we better have a good offensive line. But I'll hear you guys later.
Okay.
You guys have a nice day and keep the good work.
All right, Tyrone, thanks for calling
Thank
in.
You.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets, look, with Cromartie, they haven't certainly got any worse, and they were a really good defense last year. Chris Jenkins, they played most of the year without it. He got hurt during the Patriots game, second week of the season. Mm-hmm. He was their nose tackle. They filled in really nicely with him with an aggressive style of defense. You know, I've always liked Chris Jenkins. I was a big, big fan of his, you know, but he gets hurt almost every year. So I don't know. If I'm a Jets fan, I'm not counting on Chris Jenkins, but I am counting on the same type of defense that they had last year. The Jets come down to Mark Sanchez.
That's it.
They'll be as good as, you know, unless they're content with being, you know, one and done in the playoffs every year and, you know, being fighting for the Patriots, you know. But if they want to go all the way, it's up to Sanchez.
They have a good the Jets have a good, solid, all-around team. They don't have a ton of holes, and I fully agree with you, Fred. It's about Mark Sanchez, and if he can build on what he did in the postseason, which, to me, you know, I was on the fence about Mark Sanchez and his future through most of last year, and I just wasn't sure if he was the guy. But what I saw him do in the postseason, it wasn't, you know, Hall of Fame caliber
no,
yet.
It was much better.
In the big games, he came up pretty big.
Yeah, no,
if he can continue that, I think the Jets are – it's just they don't have a ton of holes. They have a good running game, good offensive line, and, you know, they don't have – you know, they might not have elite players at wide receiver, but as, you know, Tyrone mentioned, as the Patriots have proven in the past, you don't need necessarily those elite wide receivers. I think the Jets are going to be a tough team to beat. However, you can also look at a lot of history when it comes to, you know, teams that overachieve one year, especially it seems teams that overachieve with a, you know, a young rookie quarterback and a young rookie head coach. You look at the Falcons a couple years ago. Sometimes they take a step back the next year just by nature of you have the bullseye on you. Maybe you just, you know, you kind of overachieved and there's a little bit of that letdown factor. So I think there could be some of that. But then again, I think Rex Ryan is the type of coach that won't let that happen and kind of has his players rallying around him. I think the Jets are definitely going to be a factor. Will they win the division next year? I don't know, but I think they're going to be a factor.
Let's see. Next emailer, as a Florida Gator, I have to say I'm quite perturbed at the media that likes to set up Florida and Tebow for failure. However, with the friendship that Coach Meyer and Coach Belichick have developed, it seems stupid to me to hear anyone say they wouldn't want Tebow under center in a spread formation if Brady went down again. God, that hurts to say, and I fear it as a Dolphin fan. And that's from Adam, drinking and smoking for Ricky and Ronnie in Cocoa, Florida. But the problem with Tebow as a backup is until you can make him into a pocket quarterback and he can kind of roll right into the current system you have, you can't have two offenses.
If Tim Tebow, if Tim Tebow is on the Patriots in 2010 and Tom Brady, goes down, has to be replaced for a series and a game in October, Brian Hoyer is stepping in. I assure you, I would even say this. If Tim Tebow is on the Patriots next year, he will be in a press box 16 times next year. He will not see the field in 2010. I will say that right now. Forget about it as a quarterback. He probably won't see the field at all. Tim Tebow will not be the backup quarterback for the Patriots next year. At best, if he's on the Patriots, he is the third string quarterback at best. And if not, they found a role for him to be some kind of a special teams, maybe H-back guy, and he sneaks onto the game day roster a couple times. That's the ceiling for Tim Tebow as a Patriot in 2000.
That's the kind of insight you're going to get every week on Brian Lowe's draft show.
That's right.
What's it called?
Well, it's Patriots Today
the
draft
Lowe
previews.
Show?
No, the Lowe. The radio.
Inside the draft room with Brian Lowe.
That's right. Starting a week from tomorrow. That's right. We're starting a week from tomorrow. Every Wednesday from the 30th. Is that the 31st of March? 31st of March until the first Wednesday after the draft. Right, Jason?
Right.
So looking forward to that.
Man,
so,
why don't we call it Lookout Below?
Lookout. Listen, that's up for debate. Maybe in the first week of the show we can have a contest what to call it for the final.
All right. 508-543-7482. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We'll be right back.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
We've
come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in a shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello. Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Hey, a big gracias has to go out to Iggy from Madrid today, who was nice enough to buy us lunch. And Iggy got off easy today because Paul's not here.
Right. I should have ordered two calzones.
Right. Paul's not here and Big Head's not here.
Hey, Iggy, thank you very much. This is a nice treat for me.
Yeah. Iggy's actually been to the studio.
Oh, is that right?
He came all the way from Spain just to be on the show. He's a great guy. And nobody says Lori Baranski like Iggy.
Lori
Baranski.
Oh, is that
very,
right?
Very, very romantic.
Is that right?
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Well, Iggy, I question your priorities if you're coming out here just to visit the studio, but I applaud that because it's people like you that make this this operation tick.
That's right. You're the fuel that makes us go. Otherwise, right. We pass out at 1:15. So Iggy from Madrid, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And we do have a lot of emails. Let's see. I want to read this one from Mensa in the Bronx. He says, in my opinion, I think the Patriots should look into Pike as a consideration instead of Tim Tebow. He wrote Tom just to screw me up. Nice try, Mensa. What do you think? Another quarterback to think of is a quarterback from a small school like Central Michigan, LeFevre. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Bill was thinking by signing David Patton. The guy has not played actively for some few years, actually just one. And from my point of view, he has declined considerably for a team trying to be back on top. We talked about the Patton signing before. Don't look at that as any type of Patriots answer to what they need in wide receiver. He was available. Right. It's not bad to have a veteran like that in practice for the young guys. If he makes the team, it'll be a miracle.
And based on something that Robert Kraft said yesterday to media and that we've talked about around here since the season ended, chemistry in the locker room. If David Patton makes the team, which, listen, that's 50-50 probably at best. If he makes the team, I think he's going to be a huge guy in that locker room as a guy who has Super Bowl rings from his time here, and he's a great character guy. So I agree with you.
He
don't
could
read
be this
too
year's
much.
Junior Seau. Who knows?
Right. And then quickly, as far as those quarterbacks, the Patriots have 12 picks in the draft. They'll take a quarterback at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think it'll be Tony Pike, who's more of a second and third round guy. LeFevre, maybe. I think they'll have their eye on someone a la Matt Castle, a la Brian Hoyer, and undrafted. There'll be another quarterback brought in, but it won't be till the
end.
Right.
Okay, so as promised at the beginning of the show, calling in from the owner's meeting is Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com. Mike, how you doing?
Fred, Brian, I'm doing great. How are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing awesome. It's good to hear from you. You've been doing a lot of great work with ESPN Boston. So right off the top, I do want to ask you, how is life working for the worldwide leader?
It's been great. It's been fun. You come down here, it's like there's 32 teams in the NFL, and then like ESPN is like the 33rd team, guys.
I can imagine.
I'm telling you.
And I got
packed roster.
That's right. And before we get into football, here's my opening question to you. What was a better morning for you, working out on a treadmill next to Roger Goodell yesterday or having muffins and donuts with Belichick today?
Oh, man.
I saw your tweet, Mike.
I'll tell you what. I think the spread with Robert Kraft, I'm going to take choice C.
There you go.
Know?
Wow, okay.
The breakfast buffet with Robert Kraft. And really, when you think back to what Robert Kraft said in that breakfast, I thought there was a lot of substance there. So I'm going to pick C, and I would say never, ever pick the workout machine next to Roger Goodell because he will make you look bad. That man, he climbs mountains.
He's an animal, huh?
But first of all, when I go into the gym, I mean, I'm not looking that great anyway, and then you put me up next to him, and it was ugly.
Right. He does literally climb mountains.
Yeah.
Tagliabue used to just sleep in the couch in the lobby. He didn't even go in the gym. All right. Well, you gave us a good segue, Mike, because you've been all over the place. You've met with Belichick one-on-one. You've met with him in a group. You've met with Robert Kraft. And I was just reading some of the main points that you took away from the breakfast that you had with him. You know, first, let's talk about the Tom Brady stuff that he mentioned about the long-term contract yes, he would rather see him here than in California. By the way, Mike, I don't know if you knew, but Tom Brady is here. He has reported for workouts today. Just want to throw that in. But what did you know, sometimes when you're with someone, you can see the body language. You take a lot more than the written word. You know, so when Kraft was talking about Brady's contract, what did you sense about timing perhaps and, you know, desire to get it done quickly?
Well, I didn't sense that anything was imminent, Fred, but I sensed decisiveness that it will get done in due time. And I thought, you know, that the way Robert Kraft spoke about it, it was so certain. There was so much confidence in his voice that really, if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm looking at it saying, you know, this isn't going to be a matter of if. It's just going to be a matter of when.
Right. Now, getting to that when, Brian and I were talking about it. You know, there's the Patriots side and then there's Brady's side. If you're on the Patriots side, looking at it from their perspective, is it better to do it before Peyton Manning does his contract, or do you wait to see what that contract's like and then negotiate off that? And vice versa, if you're Brady, what is the better strategy? What are you thinking about that? What will the first of all, the Patriots, what do you think would be better for the Patriots to do?
Sure. If I was in the Patriots negotiating room, my sense is to get it done before Peyton Manning would obviously be preferred, because you're taking another contract out of the mix that could further reset the market, redefine the market for franchise, elite, top tier, these guys don't come around often type of quarterbacks. That being said, Fred, you know, given Brady's past in terms of the way he's dealt with contracts, it's sort of clear to me that he's been willing to go away from the traditional market for a deal that he feels is fair for him, but also gives the Patriots the ability to put players around him. So I don't see any reason that would change. So if I'm Tom Brady and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's the difference between $16 million per year and $18 million? Well, it might be that receiver that can help me get to the Super Bowl. You know what, Robert Kraft, I'm willing to take the $16 million. So that's my sense of sort of the way both sides will approach this.
The last time that the Patriots signed Tom Brady to a new contract, he was not part of the he wasn't a player rep. Since that time, he's become a player rep. Do you think that that could change his mindset a little bit, where now I have sort of a duty to kind of, you know, get what I can as an example to other guys? Do you think that him being a player rep now might change how he looks at, you know, a hometown deal versus not a hometown deal?
I don't see it being a huge factor, Fred, because I just think whatever he gets, it's not a hometown discount. I guess the question really to me is, does he want to go out and have that market-busting contract? Does he want to say, like Asante Samuel did, I want to raise the bar for all cornerbacks? I mean, I just don't see Brady being like that, because I think he'll look at it and say, hey, if I'm number one, two, or three in terms of highest paid, that bar is pretty high as it is. And I go back to comments he made earlier this offseason when he said, you know, we're all overpaid as it is. You know, I think there's a part of him that really believes that, Fred. So I don't see it being a huge factor.
Okay. I hope you're right.
And I think ultimately when all is said and done, you know, when these careers are over, I don't think people are going to be looking at, well, you know, Tom Brady made this amount, Manning made this amount. They're going to be looking at how many rings,
right,
how many wins, who
That's
had the better
true.
Career. Now, along those lines, the Patriots, clearly you've spoken with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick about, we're not happy with how 2009 ended. Sort of the chemistry issues in the locker room. I know you talked to Robert Kraft about that, and just the embarrassing performance that they had. Do you get the sense that they know, boy, we just didn't have it? I know you've used this word before. They didn't have the right mix in 2009. They've acknowledged that, and that they're putting a lot of effort into making sure they correct those sort of off the field mix problems for 2010.
I do get that sense, Brian, and I think the other side of that is that people might look at and say, well, you know, if they're looking to fix that mix, why are they just re-signing their own? It doesn't make sense. They're just reinforcing what they said was a problem. And here's the other layer to that that I think is important to consider. I come out of these meetings the last 2 days almost knowing for sure that Adalys Thomas will not be with the team. I mean, they have not said it, but they have said it,
yep,
if that makes sense. And to me, chemistry isn't necessarily, you know, taking a house and knocking it over and rebuilding it up. Sometimes you can replace a window and the whole house isn't drafty anymore. Sometimes you can replace, you know, the front door and all of a sudden the house looks a lot better. I think they can get the chemistry they need, with a few tweaks. I don't mean to finger at Dallas Thomas, but I think it's clear to me that they viewed him as one of the problems with that chemistry. So you take him out, you get guys like Vince Wilfork coming back into the room with the team having a big financial commitment behind him. You have those younger guys, another year in the system. Maybe you bring in a few more experienced veterans along the way, and all of a sudden that mix is different. So I don't think it has to be a dramatic change to have the right mix, but it certainly needs to have a few tweaks to get where you want to go, and I think that process has ever evolved.
I absolutely agree with you, Mike. And another guy that I think they brought in that I think addresses this, well, we'll see how it addresses, but one of the reasons they brought him in was to try to address this, is Corwin Brown. You know, I think that, you know, that defensive backfield at times, we saw it in the locker room after losses, sometimes guys in the corner giggling, not what you're looking for after a loss, you know, from your young guys. And I think bringing in a guy like Corwin Brown, you know, I think he's going to be able to relate to some of these guys and, you know, help them along that way. Do you agree with that?
You know, that's an interesting point, Fred, because I think that could be part of the benefit of having Corwin Brown. The one thing I'd say on that is I think it's hard to rely on a coach like that when you're talking about locker room etiquette, you know, because I've always felt like there's a divide between the coaching staff and the players when it comes to the way players act in the locker room. And you could be right on the money, but to me, when I looked at the Corwin Brown signing and then to hear, or the Corwin Brown hire, I should say, and then to hear Brandon Merriweather say, you know, this is the first time I've really had a safeties coach.
Right.
The thing that stood out to me is Brandon Merriweather is a key player for this team. He's one of their most talented players on defense, and I thought he didn't have a great year last year. I thought he was too inconsistent. So I looked at the Corwin Brown hire as something where Bill Belichick said, how can I get the most out of Brandon Merriweather on the field? How can I harness this terrific athleticism, this great ability for him to run, but where he's inconsistent? And I think Corwin Brown's a guy that Merriweather will respect immediately and can get the most of out of Merriweather on the field. Now, maybe I'm looking too much into it, but that was sort of
I would agree with that as well.
I think just real quick on Corwin Brown. I think Corwin Brown brings three factors that this coaching staff sort of lacks, this combination of three: NFL playing experience, NFL coaching experience, and probably most important, that playing and coaching experience has come under Bill Belichick. I think those are three critical factors, and I think in talking to Brandon Merriweather, as we were last week, I got that sense. So
Yeah, that's good. Mike, you know, going back to Wilfork, you know, I happen to agree with you about, you know, he's got more of a cachet now. Now he's one of these guys that he's going to be here long term. You know, talking to a guy like Merriweather, yeah, you know, Brandon, you were a first-round pick from, you know, University of Miami, just like me, and, you know, so you have that swagger, but I'm going to be here for a long time. You know, unless you keep playing to your ability, you may not be. So I think this contract does give him a little bit more swagger, but one of the things we argue about on this show is that you can't force a guy to be a leader who really doesn't have that in him. I think Wilfork does. Other guys on the show don't necessarily. If you haven't been one up to now, you're probably not going to be one. What's your take on you know, Wilfork as a leader?
Well, I agree with you 100%, or whoever said that it's hard to make someone who isn't comfortable being, a vocal leader to stand up in front of the team. Like Bill Belichick has said this in the past, one of my favorite experiences from covering him over the years is listening to him in speaking engagements. And I remember him up at Salem State College a couple years ago talking about different forms of leadership. And I remember him saying, Fred, he said, Troy Brown was one of the greatest leaders that I've ever been around, but if you were expecting him to make a speech in front of the team, the next time he did it would be the first time. So I think, you know, I think there's different types of leaders, Fred. And Wilfork, my opinion is that's TBA, to be announced or to be determined, you know, because I'm not sure it's a natural fit right now, but I see signs within him where it could be. I'm sort of hedging my bets here. I'm riding the fence on you. I could see it going either way. I thought his remarks in the conference call after he signed were strong, were powerful, and with those you could see him possibly being that type of player. But when you look at the way he was all, throughout the last 6 years, I would say even he said he's probably more of a leader by example. So I think it's really, let's see how that one unfolds before we know. I don't really have a good sense.
Mike, you also talked a lot with Bill Belichick, and you touched on a number of issues, and one of them is something that, you know, Patriots Nation is very concerned about. They got rid of Dean Pease. They're not going to name a defensive coordinator. Bill Belichick has said he's going to spend more time focusing on the defense, and so, of course, everyone's worried about his workload. You addressed that directly with him, and, you know, what did he have to say?
Well, that, to me, Fred, was the most revealing thing that he said. Bill has a really an impeccable ability, if you ask me, to say a lot of words, and you really have to dig deep to find the meaning. And that was the one thing I pulled out that I thought really had some value, where he said, look, my workload isn't going to increase. It's just going to be redistributed. And I want to tell you how that came out, because I asked him the question. I said, you know, with you being more involved in the defense and taking on more workload, and he stopped me right there. And he said, whoa, I never said I'm taking on any more workload.
Interesting.
I think we just assumed it, because you hear, oh, he's going to be more involved with the defense.
Right.
Well,
I never said that.
What? Yeah, there you go. So I think he's going to pull away from, let's say, whatever he did on offense, or maybe he doesn't meet with the quarterbacks on Tuesdays, or maybe, you know, there's something else within his daily routine that will be sacrificed for him to do that. And he obviously has a lot of confidence in the rest of his staff members to do that, to pull away whatever he's decided to pull away from.
Right. So this could be an indication of a growing confidence in Bill O'Brien, perhaps?
I think that's a great point, Fred, and
yeah.
I think also, too, the presence of a guy like Dante Scarnecchia,
yeah.
A veteran assistant on the offensive side of the ball who helps, you know, in a big way with the running game. I think if you don't have Dante there, maybe you're not doing this. Maybe you're hiring, you know, another experienced coach somewhere on the staff. So I definitely think it has something to do with Bill O'Brien, because when we think back to the story that Patriots.com had when this announcement came out, I believe back in early February, there were some strong comments from Bill Belichick saying, hey, I have the utmost, you know, confidence, if I remember, in Bill O'Brien and this staff. It was positioned. His remarks were positioned in a way that made it clear Bill O'Brien was running that offense.
And I'll also throw into this, and this might not come into play quite as much during the season, but I think there's probably also a sense that Nick Caserio now has a year under his belt since Scott Pioli left, and maybe Belichick had to spend more time on the personnel side last year. And won't have to spend as much time this year. I already get the sense in this pre-draft off-season process and the handful of times that we've had a chance to interact with Nick Caserio, I think he is getting much more of a grasp and given much more leeway to handle a lot of the draft process, and maybe Belichick can take some time away from that. Mike, let me throw this one at you, and listen, Tim Tebow, listen, that name, you say that name, everyone has an opinion going back to the combine, and we're still a month away from the draft. But just because today Bill Belichick certainly addressed Tim Tebow, he was asked about him and had a lot of praise, I'm wondering what sense you got about whether or not that's genuine praise and this is a player that Bill Belichick would like to get his hands on, or you think there's no chance Tim Tebow becomes a Patriot?
Yeah, you can't tell, Brian, because really, I mean, you take the remarks at face value. It's clear he admires the person and the player and the production had. But, you know, I mean, what benefit is it to Bill Belichick to tip his hand one way or the other? But what I think this does is, one, assuming that they are interested, it sort of solidifies that relationship with Urban Meyer. I mean, Bill Belichick's a smart man. He knows that if he puts his stamp of approval on a player and says it publicly, that's going to reflect well on Urban Meyer, Florida, Tim Tebow. So maybe some of that, you know, that's in his mind there.
Sure.
And I just can't imagine Fred Bill coming out and say, oh yeah, we're going to take him,
right,
you know, with that first second round pick. So it might create value for the pick by being, you know, talking about it like this, because another team that might be interested in him, you know, said, oh, maybe the Patriots are serious. So
yeah.
I just don't think we can read too much into that, other than he has a lot of respect for Tebow, and he likes Florida and Urban Meyer.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I know you got a lot to do down there. I do appreciate you taking the time to call in. There's a lot of stuff going on in your blog. You're keeping everybody informed with everything that's going on down there, and, of course, everything during this offseason. So we appreciate the work you're doing. And, Mike, what's your Twitter account so people can sign up and follow you there?
It's just @MikeReese.
@Mike.
That's cool, Fred. Yeah.
At Mike Reese on Twitter. ESPNBoston.com is where you can find Mike's blog and all the updates he does on the Patriots every day. Mike, thanks for calling in.
Great work, Mike. Right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Mike Reese, one of the stalwarts
of the
Patriots beat.
And he's an alum.
Yeah.
He's an alum, a Patriots.com alum.
He really is.
But he really tackles everything. And, you know, he had that one-on-one with Belichick yesterday ahead of the media lunch this morning and the breakfast this morning, and that was a good read and getting Robert Kraft's thoughts and everything. So he's definitely tearing it up down there.
He's good with the knowledge.
He sure is.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Brian has to go because he's got some work to do. I'll be here with your emails and your calls.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got
it? Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA, member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again. Two shows in a row. Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
I'm surprised you didn't do the latest one from last week. You didn't incorporate that one yet?
I will.
Yeah. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Before we get to the emails and phone calls, I have three homework assignments for everybody here. First homework assignment, one of the topics down in the owners' meeting was the experience for fans at stadiums. The league is very concerned, and teams are very concerned, that with all the stuff going on cable, the red zone and, you know, HD and all that, there's more and more incentive to just stay home on your couch and watch the game. You know, it's pretty exciting at home. It's one of the best TV events in the world, the NFL. So, you know, what do teams in the league need to do to keep people coming to the game? That is a big concern. So one of your homework assignments is, what do you think are the main things that teams should do to make sure people still keep coming to the games and to make that fan experience at stadiums, you know, still top-notch? So that's homework assignment number two. Number one. Homework assignment number two, I need everyone to send emails to webradio@patriots.com after the show saying how refreshing it was without Eric, Andy, and Paul and all the negativity, you know, that they bring to the show, how refreshing it was not to have them here. We'll read them in the next show to make them feel bad. And then the third one is, if anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I need to know that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's called the Nut Wizard. I think you can find it at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard.
The Cockle Gobbler.
Yeah, no, it's not like that, but I have a ton of acorns. So I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know. So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to – before I – it's like $49.
So ridiculous.
I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
Have your son do it.
Well, that's one way to do it, yeah. But, you know, he'll do a half-assed job, and then I'll yell at him. And anyway, so those are your three homework assignments. How do you make the fan experience at the stadiums, you know, enough so that it lures people away from their living rooms? Emails to webradio@patriots.com, how refreshing it is not to have the negativity of the Three Stooges and the Nut Wizard. All right. Doc, I see you shaved off.
Speaking of Eric.
You shaved off your beard.
I did.
Why?
It's starting to warm up.
The beard's starting to warm up?
No, the weather outside. I thought it was more of a winter look.
Oh, okay. All right. It's much better. That crap on the face. I don't know why guys, you know, grow that stuff. It's not good. Let the Red Sox do that. You know, we don't need that. When you stop dipping, then you'll be an acceptable human being. All right. Sean writes in, and once again, thanks for B-Lo for stopping in for the first hour and a half, and for Mike Reese calling in from the owners' meeting. Sean writes in, I agree with what Mike said about Brady being willing to take less to put people around him. The thing is, you have to put people around him. When you don't go after established free agents because you say they are too old and expensive, and when you don't go after young free agents because they cost too much, you are throwing it all into the gamble of hitting on draft picks, which are more than often not successful with the Patriots. I don't get it. Why not get Brandon Marshall? Or even as crazy as it sounds, T.O. You need something, and Tate is not going to cut it. Well, you know, Sean, I hear what you're saying, but Belichick made a good point this morning. Some of the best free agents that were on the market this season were Patriots, and the Patriots re-signed those guys. Of course, I'm talking about Vince Wilfork and Lee Bodden. You know, Lee Bodden was one of the top cornerbacks, besides, I think, Cromartie and the other guy, Dante Robinson, that got signed. He was one of the top cornerbacks of the market. Vince Wilfork, arguably, was the best defensive lineman, except for Julius Peppers, on the market. And the Patriots signed two of those guys. So they took care of that first. Now, I know you're specifically talking about the wide receiver. Brandon Marshall is not a free agent. If the Patriots were to get Brandon Marshall, they'd have to give up a first and a third round pick. So they'd have to figure out how to get a third round pick somehow. And they'd have to give up a first rounder as well. And then they would have to pay Brandon Marshall big money. I'm not saying that they shouldn't, you know, that's crazy and no team would ever do that. But it is a pretty steep price to pay for a guy who has had trouble. I think there's no debate about his ability on the field. The guy is a super talent. But with all the talk that the Patriots have had in the offseason, Robert Kraft, Tom Brady, about chemistry, do you go and pay big bucks and give up a first and a third round pick for a guy who really is the opposite of what you're trying to achieve in the locker room? What is that saying to the rest of the guys? You know, you talk about all this chemistry stuff, and now you're breaking the bank and giving up a first and a third round draft pick for a guy who, you know, was really at times hurting his own team last year. You know, so that's something to think about there with Brandon Marshall. With T.O., you are crazy if you think you should get T.O. T.O., first of all, he's way past his prime, okay? He's lost a lot of speed. He never was reliable with his hands. He's you know, he'll catch most of the balls, but he'll drop balls in critical situations. T.O. is just not worth the circus, you know. He doesn't have, you know, Brandon Marshall, you're talking about a whole nother level of athlete as it stands today. With T.O., you're not even talking about that. So why bother? Now, Anquan Boldin is another thing. You know, the Patriots possibly could have gotten Anquan Boldin for a third and a fourth, somehow figure out to get a third, you know, in a fourth for him. That's a guy who I think maybe they should have made a little bit more effort. But look, free agency and the offseason is far from over. There will be guys available that are not available today. I know these guys laugh at me when I say it, but ever since I've said it, guys have come on the market that weren't on the market when free agency started, when the offseason started. There will be guys available. I agree they shouldn't rely on the draft. That's, you know, for a wide receiver. I think you draft a wide receiver, but you don't count on him to be to have like Terry Glenn numbers in his rookie year and to contribute that way. It's just tough for wide receivers in this league to do that. More often than not, they need at least a year to get acclimated. But the Patriots are far from done when it comes to, you know, retooling for 2010. So let's not freak out yet. But T.O., no way. Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Calvin writes in, talking about Tim Tebow a little bit earlier, because Bill Belichick had some really, really nice things to say about him. Basically just, you know, illustrating the kind of work ethic and love of football that Tebow has. Somebody asked, you know, Belichick, you know, kiddingly, you know, about Tebow, and you know, Belichick said, you know, he'd play nose tackle if you asked him to. So, you know, just by saying that, as Mike Reese pointed out, by giving his stamp of approval on a guy, it does wonders for the guy. It does wonders. It's a thank you to Urban Meyer for their friendship. You know, it helps all the way around to have a coach who really isn't looking for a quarterback to know enough about this guy to say what he said about him. So, you know, am I ruling out Tebow? I would rule him out in the first and second round, but, I mean, if for some crazy reason he's still around in the fourth, hey, I might take a shot on Tim Tebow in the fourth round. But Calvin says, I'm reading more and more that Tebow will be taken by the Pats in the first round. Please tell me it's a bad dream. Gil Brandt on a chat on NFL.com today said he wouldn't be shocked if Tebow goes to the Pats in round one. But he did also say Toby Gerhardt would be the third running back taken in the draft. What is he, Fred Kirsch? Gil Brandt has been around a long, long time. He was in charge of the Cowboys drafts in their heyday. And so he knows what he's talking about. But I think he's dead wrong on this one. I don't know where he's getting, you know, the thought that the Patriots would take Tim Tebow in round one. To me, that's just a waste of a draft pick. You know, not only is there a question about whether or not he can play in the NFL as a quarterback, but even if you think that you're going to use him for something else, he's certainly not going to start the season doing that something else. It's going to take him a year to be able to do, quote unquote, something else in this league besides quarterback. And if you take him as quarterback, he's not going to play anyway because he's retooling and you got Tom Brady. So that is a waste of a first round pick. I'm shocked that Gil Brandt thinks that there's a chance that they would do that. I really am.
He must be in another galaxy somewhere. Yeah. There's no way that would happen.
Toby Gerhardt as the third running back taken, that's not so much of a shock to me. Even though I've downgraded Toby Gerhardt to the second round, and that's where a lot of other draft experts, not that I'm a draft expert, think he's going to go anyway. This isn't that deep a draft for running backs. You know, I've been looking at the tape, as limited as they are, of a lot of these guys. Obviously, C.J. Spiller is, you know, has all the tools, except for I wish he was a little bit bigger, but he certainly can do everything. He can return. He can catch out of the backfield. I guess, you know, he can be spunky when it comes to blitz pickup, and he's obviously got a lot of speed, has all the moves at running back. I like Jonathan Dwyer. This guy's a much bigger guy. Yeah, he's put on weight in his lower body, but and he didn't run that fast at the combine. But man, this guy's a beast. He really is. I think he might be the number two guy taken. After that, a lot of these guys look alike. They really do. The smaller guys, you know, you have that smaller group that are like 200 and less, and then you have the guys that are about 215 to 220. There's not a lot separating them, I think, in this draft, from what I've seen. Again, I'm not an expert. I could see Gerhardt being the third running back taken. That's not as much a stretch as the Patriots taking Tebow in the first round. There's just no way I think that can happen. Stripper says, as far as homework assignment number one, what should teams do to make that fan experience, you know, as good as it can be? Teams should lower the cost to go to a game. Well, you know, it sounds, you know, pretty obvious, but I think there's some validity to that. You know, it's not just a funny statement. I think the cost is a big part of the fans' decision. You know, when you add in parking and concessions, you know, it's a big ticket to go to a football game. You know, the Patriots' lowest price ticket, I think, is like $80 or something like that. You know, so a family of four, right there, you're talking about $320 plus your parking. You know, plus food, it's like $600.
And then a trip to the pro shop. Get the kids some jerseys and pennants.
So $600-$700 for a day at Gillette Stadium. That's a definite decision for a person just on one game. And then now when you're talking about season tickets, you know, you multiply that by 10. And for most people, including myself, that's a big part of my budget. You know, in fact, I don't even have that in my budget. So if I were to become a season ticket holder, something else would have to go. It sounds like just an off-the-cuff statement, make the prices lower. But, you know, I don't think it's that, it's not said with that much facetiousness.
You could do away with a nut wizard and become a season ticket holder.
Well, if the nut wizard, though, saves me time in the backyard, I can use that time for other things.
It's all about the opportunity cost, huh?
That's right. Time is money. You know, there's a good chance. You know, the Patriots didn't raise ticket prices this year. I don't think they did last year either. Or maybe last year they did. I'm not sure. But there's a good chance that the Patriots and other teams may not raise ticket prices for the next 10 years. I really believe that. They'll try to add amenities, as a matter of fact, to the stadium experience rather than raise ticket prices, but they could stay static for the next 10 years.
Well, there's definitely validity to becoming a season ticket holder just for the amenities that you would get. I mean, for example, look at the new initiative that we're doing with the season ticket holders on April 3rd.
Right. That's a good point, Jason. If you're a season ticket holder of the Patriots, the Patriots have organized a pre-draft preview to be held here at the stadium. Todd McShay from ESPN ESPN will be one of the analysts. Mike Reese will be here. Michael Smith from ESPN will be the host. Andy Hart will be on the panel.
Teddy Bruschi, Arizona.
And at Teddy Bruschi. Thank you for reminding me. Teddy Bruschi will be here. So it's a great panel, and they're going to do this thing. There's going to be food available. The bar is a cash bar, but the food is free, and the event is free. And all you have to do is go to Patriots.com and RSVP if you're a season ticket holder, and you can go to this event. I think it's April 3rd. April 3rd.
April 3rd from 5 to 8.
Right. And that's one of the things the Patriots are doing for their season ticket holders, like Jason said, to make being a season ticket holder more valuable. So, and I think teams are going to have to do more and more of those types of things. If you're not a season ticket holder, sorry. You know, there is the draft party, though. That's open to the public on Thursday night. But this is just for season ticket holders, and teams need to do those types of things. Let's see. TG says, Fred, get a squirrel. Fred, the best way to pick up acorns is a squirrel. Get some squirrels. As far as in-game entertainment, look to the college game. Everybody seems to be having fun there. You need to resemble the college game experience. Problem is, college students are young, drunk, and happy. Pats fans are old, drunk, and surly. Don't think you could come up with anything to cheer that lot. And P.S. saw the latest cover of Vogue with Giselle on it. Brady is done. I wonder why. What's Giselle doing on Vogue? Anyway. That's a good point. I've always said that Kansas City Chiefs have the closest thing the NFL has to a college atmosphere. And, you know, a lot of it, like TG says, it's just the attitude of the fans. You know, New Englanders and New Yorkers and people in Philadelphia, we're just mean people. And I don't know if there's much you can do about that. But that said, I think going for a college atmosphere is the right direction. You know, the Chiefs have a live band that plays during the games. I think that's great. You know, live music is so much better, no offense, Jason, than piped-in music over loudspeakers. It always is. You know, so I think anything you can do like that just to get the fans going, you know, maybe each game is themed. So maybe one is wear your blue jersey day. Maybe another one is wear your white jersey day. I don't know, but anything you can get to get the fans involved in interacting, I think, is a good thing. Let's see. Correction.
The other thing is the rules in the NFL are far stricter than they are in college as it relates to the game presentation and the game entertainment.
Well, I can tell you, and this just came out. This is coming out of the owners' meeting. You're going to find out, Jason, that I think they are going to be lifting a lot of those restrictions. I think they're going to allow a lot more music to be played, like when the team's on defense, to get the fans pumped up. I think they're going to get back into that.
And I agree with you. I'm going to the game presentation meetings for the NFL in 2 weeks, actually, and I'm hoping that that's one of the issues that are discussed and just what you can do to build the atmosphere and the entertainment.
Yeah, they will tell you exactly what the owners decided on, but I think you're going to find that they are lifting some of that because they realize that you have to make this a fun environment. You can't, you know, you can't be telling people to sit down when your team's on defense. You know, it just doesn't work. Tim says Brandon was tendered with a first round pick, not a first and third. I still don't think the Patriots should get him, but I thought I should let you know Marshall's tendered. Thank you, Tim. It's just a first round pick, not a first and third. But you still got to pay him the big money too. In addition to handing over your first-round pick. Let's see. Doc just handed me the Vogue issue with Giselle. She's looking good. The Brady Bunch, Giselle, baby, body, beauty, brand. I don't know why Tom is done because of this, but she certainly is. I would assume this is post-baby, and, man, she recovered very quickly. Wouldn't you say, Doc?
Yeah.
Good recovery.
She looks good.
Yep. I don't know who her trainer is, but that's good work there. let's see. We talked last week about Tom Brady and having a pit bull. You know, I just don't think that anyone in their right mind, you know, if you have a choice, should choose a pit bull if you have little kids, especially when, you know, Giselle comes right out and says you can't make eye contact with the dog. That just seems nuts. Anyway, William Barry, Paul Perillo's favorite emailer, writes in, rational beings and Paul, on Brady's pit bull, I have two theories. One, it is his tribute to Michael Vick. Two, Andy's theory that after the pictures of him carrying Giselle's dog, she ordered him to man up and the only manly dog he could think of was a pit bull. As for Paul and later Eric, a dog, any dog, is as vicious as the owners make it. I remember when German Shepherds had that reputation. Later it was Dobermans. I did not notice if Rottweilers got that bad rap. I'm an ex-husband. My replacement owned a pit bull. The dog was nice. In fact, it was better than my replacement, but I digress. Do you think I'd use the excuse of, oh my God, that vicious animal is around my children, if I thought it was at all warranted? I don't know. Would you? As for Paul's point about more powerful jaws, Dobermans have sharper teeth was the cry against them. So what? That's rhetorical, Paul. You can go on your ignorant rant when I'm done. For now, shut up and let Fred read and enjoy me insulting you, you fat, bald dog and fan hater. Paul's not here, so we don't have to worry about him interrupting. Think back to the monkey and every animal attack you can think of. Mammals ask Eric what snakes, spiders, etc. are. The victim is always a friend. Now, the dog will recognize Ben, that is Tom Brady's son, as part of its pack. It would attack anyone trying to hurt Ben. Granted, that is open to doggy interpretation. If Aunt Dolores tries to kiss him on the cheek, it might figure she is trying to bite his face. It is less dangerous as keeping a loaded gun in a locked box in the house. I hear what you're saying, William, but the fact is, when a pit bull bites, it's even a lot more different than when a Doberman bites. They just have a different jaw set, and the pounds of pressure that a pit bull can put down is phenomenal. It's unbelievable. Let's see. More emails. Oh, one of the things that they were talking about at the owner's meeting is the OT rules. We talked about that last week as well. And I think they are looking at making some type of change. However, it would be just for the playoffs, and it wouldn't go into effect until next year, I believe. Even if they do vote on the change, I believe it won't go into effect until 2011. I could be mistaken on that, but that's I think I read that somewhere. But Bill Belichick was asked about, you know, the rule change or the possible rule change. And this is from Greg Rosenthal on Pro Football Talk. He says, Bill Belichick doesn't like how overtime is currently set up. He's not a big fan of the latest proposal to change overtime either. This is what Belichick said. I like the rules of the game as they are in regulation, Belichick told Mike Reese of ESPN Boston Monday. I think that's the way it should be in overtime, but that's not the way it is, so whatever it is, it is. Then Greg Rosenthal says, to make sure our Belichick translator was correct, we asked Reese to confirm what that meant exactly. Reese pointed out what Belichick said to him back in 07. Quote, football is a game that is played to the final gun, Belichick said then. There is a lot of strategy at the end of the game. You're protecting a lead, conserving time to get the ball back, and that all gets eliminated from the game in overtime. One option would be to play half a quarter. Both teams could get the ball in that scenario. Quote, the way it is now, you're playing for field position and the score, and you lose that end-of-game strategy. I think that strategy is part of the intrigue that football brings. So that's what Belichick thinks. He thinks that you need to play out with a time clock, you know, keep it the same way. And there's a good point. You know, the Players Association, you know, if you can't have it too short because then one team could, you know, really have like a 8-9 minute drive and run out the clock. If you have it too long, the time period, then the owners, the Players Association are bitching about, you know, now we're putting in more danger. We're, you know, extending the game, extending the chances for injury, you know, so on and so forth. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one. You know, I like somehow ensuring that both teams get the ball at least once in overtime. After that, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I just think that, you know, they did the stats since 1994, and since that time, 60% of the time, the team that wins the toss wins the game. And that used to not be the way it was. And a lot of it goes back to when they moved the kickoff from the 30 to the 35-yard line. Teams are getting the ball a little bit better, field position. Field goal kickers are much more accurate than they have ever been in the NFL. So all that leads to a lot more, you know, games decided by field goals. And that's the thing I think that the reason why they're looking at changes. They just don't like, you know, a couple plays, pass interference here, all of a sudden you're in field goal position, end of game. So I think if you can ensure somehow that both teams at least touch the ball, that's a step in the right direction. The rule that's on the table is if the team that wins the kickoff scores a touchdown, it's game over. Obviously, if they turn the ball over on downs or punt, game continues. If they score a field goal, obviously they go up by three, but the other team gets the ball on a kickoff. And then they have a chance to either tie the game or win it with a touchdown. If they tie the game, at that point it becomes sudden death overtime. It's not terrible. I'm not up in arms about that. I can live with that. However, they only want to do it for the playoffs. I say, well, you know, do it for the whole season. If you think it's a good rule, then do it for the whole season. The argument against that is, well, in the playoffs, it's one and done. You know, everything's on the line. But during the season, there's always next week. Yeah, I guess. Unless you're playing in week 15 or week 16 and a loss means you're out of the playoffs, then it is one and done. So, I'd like to make, if you're going to change the rule because you think it's worth changing, do it for the whole season.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs?
Exactly.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
WebRadioPatriots.com. Let's see. Chris says, I'm a new listener all the way from Wisconsin, 30 miles north of Green Bay. I've been a Patriots fan my whole life. I am Patriots deprived here since almost everyone bleeds green and gold, and it's a treat whenever I get to listen to you guys. Anyway, I have one question. It seems like most of you guys are down on the Patriots. Well, those are the guys that aren't here today, Chris. Anyway, one of you wants Brady gone. None of us want Brady gone. That's Andy saying that I do, and you can't listen to Andy. Anyway, the other people pick apart the team so bad. I enjoy the talk show you guys do, but after it's done, you guys somehow managed to make me feel like my team is the Browns. All I've been hearing is how the Patriots suck at drafting offensive players or how the Patriots don't do this when they should have done that. While I do agree we have drafted some busts, I don't think we should give other people that impression that this team is in shambles. Where's the love? Well, you know, Chris, this is these guys, Eric, Paul, and Andy, they want to see the Patriots win, but they do get negative sometime. And what I try to explain to them is, you know, we have the Patriots under a microscope. We dissect every little move that they do. I guarantee you, if they did the same to other teams, it would be much worse. What they don't seem to understand is, you know, in this league, the Patriots are one of the elite franchises. You know, the argument is, well, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004. That's true. But most of the teams in this league would die to have done what the Patriots have done since 2004, which is, you know, go to a AFC championship and lose in the final minutes. We don't love that, but teams would like the opportunity to be there, have a perfect season and lose in the Super Bowl. Again, it hurts us. But other teams would love to have had the opportunity to do the same thing. Go 11-5 when your franchise quarterback goes down in the first 10 minutes of a game and still go 11-5 with a guy who never played quarterback since high school and still go 11-5. And then, you know, last year was a disappointment, I grant it. But you add up all those things. Most franchises would love to have that type of success since 2004. But here in New England, you know, we've set the bar so high, 3 and 4 years, 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, you know, that it's just not good enough. But you have to take a step back, take the team out from under the microscope, and look at it league-wide and say, where would you rather be? Who would you rather be covering? And the answer has to be the Patriots. I mean, look at the picture. You know, there's two teams probably that can challenge the Patriots or did challenge the Patriots for anything close to team of the decade, the Steelers and the Colts, okay? The Steelers, every time they win a Super Bowl, they did it twice, they don't even make the playoffs the next year, all right? So what is that saying about them? The Colts, yeah, they won one, and they're the team that, you know, if there was any other team that could have been team of the decade, it would have been the Colts, but even their own general manager, Bill Polian, who probably hates the Patriots to the core of his being, said a few weeks ago that the Patriots are definitively the team of the decade. You know, so, you know, I understand where they're coming from, Paul, Andy, and Eric, you know, being frustrated with free agent moves and Bill Belichick making the wrong call in a game and so on and so forth. But when you step back and add it up, there's no other place you should want to be. Absolutely not. But, you know, I want them to criticize the team. I want them to be objective. But sometimes, you know, it's easy to go overboard in your objectivity. Let's see. Jason, what is this? Fred, if you could give the PFW in Progress listeners a heads up that we've begun posting draft prospect videos on Patriots.com. Go to www.patriots.com/draft/2010 and click on draft prospect videos. Right now we have a top prospect video posted for running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers, and we'll be adding more each day. So go to patriots.com and actually scroll down and just go to the draft section. Ferreira sucks, Merry Christmas. And then, you know, eventually you'll find the draft videos. But, yeah, we'll be posting those. We've got all those videos in, and we'll be posting them by position. Right now, running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers are available. I just started watching the wide receivers today. You know, Dez Bryant, if he wasn't, you know, involved with Deion Sanders, I'd have a little bit more confidence. The guy is a beast. I mean, he's built. He's not quite as big as T.O., but, you know, he's got that same type of chiseled body that he and Ocho Cinco have. I mean, if he, you know, gets his act together, he's going to be a force in this league. There's no doubt about it. The other guy I liked, I wasn't crazy about Williams out of USC. Too much of a body catcher. You know, doesn't use his hands well enough. But we'll get into more wide receivers when the guys get back here. All right, well, wow, look at the time. That's it. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I don't know who's going to be back Thursday. I know Andy will. I'm not sure about Eric and Paul. We'll see how the rehab goes or until the Miller Lite runs out for Paul. But I'll be back on Thursday with another edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you then.
Fred Kirsch started Patriots Football Weekly, runs Patriots.com, but has a soft spot for PFW in Progress.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
Patriots.com Radio.